So you've started it then.
It is now.
It's started.
Recording.
We've started.
We've started. Hello.
Our first live. Not live. Videotaped. It's a form of live.
Yeah, it's our first video.
It's more live
format
than it has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And what is it that it's the first of?
A video podcast.
Of ADD storytelling.
That's right.
The podcast that we do.
Anchor has this thing where you can do video podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this now. We've recorded it. It's crazy.
It's an audio and visual medium now.
Yeah.
So there's a whole second layer of things I need to be concerning myself with as a performer today.
Yeah, I have to not slouch as much.
Did you bring props for prop comedy?
I did not bring any props.
That's going to be a problem.
We can consider props next time. We can level up.
I've got some props.
For Slenderman?
Is that the topic tonight?
The topic is Slenderman.
Oh, great. Just in time for Christmas. Slenderman.
It has nothing to do with
these
anything.
These topics really seem to align well with seasons.
They don't. At all.
No. Doesn't seem like there's any.
They don't.
No. We haven't really hit that nail yet.
We're just a budding.
We're just kind of doing
beginning
things.
We're just doing
shit as it happens.
It's because I wanted to do it, so we're doing it. That's how this podcast kind of runs.
The amount of structure you put into everything that you do, and forethought, and like hyper attention to details, all that being the case, it's really funny how we just kind of end up doing things here and there.
I am that way. I don't know why you think
are.
I'm that way.
You are. Look at this. What's currently happening? There's a visual component to this. I wouldn't have.
Who knows?
Someone.
This is what we look like.
You don't know that?
I mean, with a little bit of a.
We've got a good like background. Trump glow to us tonight.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to edit the video so we don't look as, yellow.
Well, now I'm hoping that that's not the case, because otherwise it's just going to sound like the ravings of a lunatic when I made my hilarious Trump joke there.
You are very hilarious.
It's true. And now visible.
Yeah.
I don't like this. This is upsetting.
This is the real us, because I have to edit the audio at
same
time as the video. So I can't just cut out audio that I hate now.
That's more of the prop comedy than anything, I think, for tonight's episode, is that it's going to be entirely unfiltered and undiluted.
Pretty much. Like, I'm going to run it through some audio filters, but I can't cut out the thousands of ums that I make,
and
any other sounds.
Or my unintelligible ramblings, where I just kind of take a subject and just kind of run it into the ground.
Right, so I'm going to have to physically cut you off in some way because I can't edit it out. So this is when you'll know whether or not I think that versus hearing it post-edit.
Is there
going to
be a cue of some sort?
I'm just going to be like, no.
See, like, that's one of those things. That's what you could do when we're recording. It's just audio, though, because you couldn't hear that. You could just do that and I could kind of take the reins and get back on track. Here you should have actual, like, scissors to cut me with and cut me off. Yeah.
I could Edward Scissorhands you.
Edward Slenderhands me.
Edward Slenderhands. You know
what
really threw
me? Slenderman's real name?
I don't
know. Do you
know.
Have that?
I don't.
You should. Oh, I also should not have this. Airplane mode.
How should we have phone?
We should not have phone. We're professional time.
That's true.
Airplane mode. Be a professional. So what is Slenderman's real name?
I don't know, but should
Hi, everybody, and welcome to ADD Storytelling, the podcast where every week we explore the myths and legends of our time, the past, and the future in no particular order and sometimes with less than perfect focus. I am Tuck, and as always, this is, in the flesh, our beautiful, neurodivergent, diaphanous, pixie queen of a host, jazz hand aficionado, Slender Fingers, Maddie.
Slender Fingers.
Or as she's known to her friends, Mads.
Sometimes, I guess.
Very rarely, I refer to you in texts as Mads.
I guess so.
Yeah. So that's what she looks like.
Yes. So you can watch us speak.
Those are her gamer headphones.
It is. These are my not attractive gamer headphones, because gamers don't like to be also aesthetic, and so
it's true.
These are
eye for that.
The budget non-aesthetic headphones.
What do you think that is? It's just like, it's an interesting, it's a cross between, like, I don't know, I guess like Metal Militia and like cyberpunk chic, where it's just all red and black and like hard heavy metals. And like the symbols on the, like the HX, it's so like, it's like if a tech bro thought they were making a tribal tattoo, quote unquote tribal tattoo logo.
Yikes.
See, these are the tangents we would cut out.
I would have cut that out, yeah. But we cannot. Also, I'm now hypersensitive to all of the annoying sounds that I make when I'm speaking, and it's going to be really hard for me to let that happen, but I'm going to let it happen. So here we go. Before we go too much farther, you can watch this video podcast.
Well, they probably already are.
On Spotify. Oh, yeah, that's right. They probably are.
If they're this far in, they're probably watching it, right?
Yeah, that's true. But they might not know, and then they could switch over if they're on Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair. Also, I don't know, maybe we'll post it to Instagram.
No.
Okay. So, we have sources. I know, crazy. Sources! Yay!
Source! That's the best part of the episode. You should have had props ready for sources.
I do not.
Damn it.
So.
For every source you list, though, I can unbutton one more of a button in my shirt.
Do not do that.
Okay.
So, articles. Spice it up. There is the Far Dorcha from the Living Library blog. There's a lot of stories from Wattpad, which we will use probably later. I'll cite them as they come up.
Sweet.
Dark and Wicked Things, Slenderman, The Folkloristic and the Implications of Belief by Jeffrey A. Tolbert, which is like a, or Tolbert, I don't know if he's going with a Colbert of it.
Who's to say?
This is like an academic paper about Slenderman.
That sucks.
The Rolling Stone, Slenderman, From Horror Meme to Inspiration for Murder by Brian Lovett.
No, I have to stop you on that one.
Yeah.
Because there's the band, the Rolling Stones, and then there's the publication, Rolling Stone.
I said Rolling Stone.
You said the Rolling Stone, which molded them together even further. Because it was the singular, one Rolling Stone, but with the of the band.
Well then.
That threw me hard.
Isle of Man.
I love
Manx Fairy Tales. The Tall Man of Ballacurry. And the Best Slenderman Creepypasta, collected by Amanda Sedlak-Havener. Okay.
What makes her an authority?
It's not an authority, it's more just like a collection, so that I didn't have to read 500 creepypastas.
I mean, I would have, yeah. You wouldn't have been able to keep this topic a secret if you'd spent like a week and a half just reading Slenderman creepypasta. I would have noticed a visible shift in your demeanor, I would imagine.
Totally, yeah. Okay, so we all have our beliefs about the Slenderman.
No, we don't.
Creepypasta's folklore about the monster includes references to quote-unquote actual folklore. I can do this in visual media.
I feel like if anything comes through in an audio form, it is the quote fingers.
Totally.
They translate.
But I actually feel like they made it up. I really actually can't find any real folklore things that they mention at all.
It's a video game.
So the closest thing that I've found in actual folklore that could be related to Slenderman is the Fear Dorcha. So,
Tell me more about the Fear Deutsche. Is it the fear of Germans? Is it fear of Deutsch?
I don't know. This one's from Celtic mythology, so...
Because the fear of Germans is real.
So, Fear Dorcha. Fear Dorcha, dark man. A malevolent fairy. The chief agent of mortal abduction. Usually portrayed as the butler-like servant of the fairy queen, he carries out her commands without emotion or waste of energy. With equal aplomb, he may serve the queen her tea, or retrieve his black charger, a desired mortal. I don't know what charger means.
Well, it's like how he charges his phone.
Silently obedient to his queen, he is able to make all surrender their wills to his command. Although many have journeyed with the Far Dorcha to Fairyland, few have returned.
So, in like an anime like construct and like setup. This is saying that Slender Man isn't the final boss. There's a queen above him.
Oh yeah, the Fairy Queen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When are we gonna get to that arc? Because I feel like we've been on the Slender Man arc for a hot minute.
I don't know.
Culturally speaking.
So, if you're changing that myth to modern times, you can think that maybe the butler wears a suit, right? Maybe the servant of death and darkness for the queen of the dead in Fairyland would be tall and fair, as in many of these tales.
Well, and just like Slenderman, we all have our own relationship and mindset, like, visualization of what a butler looks like. So, to some, they might be wearing a suit.
Exactly.
To others, they might be just in, like, a wool cassock. To me, my butler's nude.
The other myth is with this Vardorcha character is that he performs dark sorcery and tries to capture Siv, who refuses to marry him. He wants her to. She's like, no. He turns her into a doe, as in a female deer. Yeah, so no one else can marry her. Fionn and his magic hounds eventually return her to human form, and then Fionn and Siv get married.
Okay.
So,
who's Siv? Is that the Fairy Queen?
No, it's like a just a mythical being in Celtic mythology.
So we've gone from Germany to the Celtic states of like Ireland.
I didn't say anything. You said Dutch.
Oh, yeah, that was all me?
Yeah. I didn't say anything about that.
That's true. Yeah. I'm making up my own lore here.
Yeah. So anyway. The other myth that I found that I could relate to Slenderman is a fun, spooky tale.
I heard Slater Man, and now I'm thinking of Ellie Slater. And I want to see a Slater Man.
So, this is from 1911. The Tall Man of Ballacurry. Mm-hmm. Tom Crane was going home at midnight from Brada Mine to his home at Colby. The road was lonely, and he met no person, but the full moon was shining, and it was as light as day. But okay.
That would be day.
He began to pass under the trees that grow around the house at Ballacurry, a little dog appeared suddenly from a black shadow at the roadside and followed at his heels. He whistled to it, but as he turned his head to look at it, it ran on in front of him, and for a minute he did not see it. When he came in sight of it again, he was terrified to see that it had grown larger, as big as a goat, and it grew bigger and bigger till it was the size of a donkey. It galloped before him and disappeared round the bend of the road where the gate of Ballacurry is. This is local knowledge that I don't know.
Well, this is funny, though, because this is actually... There's, like, stories about ghost cats that are similar to this. Because this is a little dog, right?
There was a little dog.
Yeah, and then turned into a giant donkey-sized dog.
Yeah.
Dog-donkey. Yeah, the ghost cat stories, usually, like, sometimes feature spectral cat hauntings that, at some point or another, transform into giant panther-sized kitties and attack.
Well, maybe we'll get to ghost cats sometime.
I know.
Yeah.
We've been building and building in a very Sting-esque way.
So here's where it comes in. When Tom came to the date... the real first time. When Tom came to the gate, he saw a very tall, thin man leaning on it, with his arms folded on top of it. The beast was not there. As Tom reached the gate, the tall, thin man turned and walked at the long path that leads to the house.
Hi, it's me, John Waters. How are you today?
When he got to the door, he turned again and walked down the path towards Tom. By the bright moonlight, Tom saw the lace ruffle around his neck, the satin of his knee breeches, the silk of his
stockings,
and the shining buckles on his shoes, the dress of the bygone days. His fate was white and dreadful.
His fate was white and dreadful.
Face.
Eh?
As Tom looked...
I was going to say, that's what the doctor said about me when I was born.
As Tom looked up, he was all at once taken with terror and ran off as hard as he could go down the road to Colby. He had not gone far when he met two of his friends, Ben Milecrest and Bill Tear.
I feel like we don't need the full names.
I don't think we do. He told them what he had seen, and they made fun of him and would not believe that he had seen any such thing.
So it's like modern Slender Man.
Oh, yeah. They said he would go back with him to the gate, so they all three turned back. When they got toward the gate, they saw the big man, as tall as two men, walking up the path with his back turned toward them. As before, when he reached the door, he turned. What they saw, they never told any man.
Well, it's written down, so they told someone.
They took to their heels, all three, and ran till they could run no longer. They were trembling from head to foot, and the sweat pouring from them. They were too terrified to go home, so they turned in with Tom, and they slept, all three, in one bed.
I'm so fucking scared, let's go to bed!
So doesn't that sound like a Slenderman story? They're going down a dark road. There's dark, tall, thin man with a white and dreadful face. Sounds slendery to me, I think.
It does? If I'm being totally honest with you.
Yeah.
I've been a bit distracted since you said the name Tom Crane with trying to figure out a way of working this into, like, a Frasier epilogue or a prequel.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I have been hard at work in my bed. I've got nothing. So that's my joke, is that the thought occurred to me.
It occurred to you that it was like Frasier.
Well, Frasier's last name is Crane.
Gotcha.
There you are. This is behind the curtain. Really peeling it back for people.
This is when we do our trigger warning. So if you don't like true crime or child murder...
Get the fuck out.
You could skip the next little bit here.
How long of a bit?
Like a couple minutes, because we're going to talk about what happened there a little bit, but not like too much. Like if you want to deal with it, you can go talk, go hang out with Last Podcast, right?
No, I prefer go talk to them.
Yeah, just send them an email. I don't know what they do. Whatever. They don't have a Facebook anymore. Eh. But yeah, they did the whole
neither
thing.
Neither do we. Because they're sensible.
We have an Instagram.
Yeah.
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 Okay, anyway. So we're talking about the origin and cultural impact of Slenderman at this point.
Should we just dive into cultural impact then to get the trigger warning out of the way?
Well, I was doing the trigger warning before we even start, so I don't have to just, like, stop in the middle.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's consider it.
Okay.
So first...
And also better than we usually are when we're recording this and edit it, because it's usually after we've said something horrible that we realize, oh, we should have had a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode. So look at that.
I know.
We're learning.
We're learning. I thought we would talk about the mythos created around Slenderman, read some examples of some good scary frights, and maybe talk about the proxy fantasy that seems pretty rampant in the preteen...
You're talking about the sexy, sexy bits. Are we going to get into some smut?
So what I was thinking was that we would do the real episode and then we would read some of the stuff that I found as like a holiday hiatus episode.
Okay.
That was my plan.
So you're teasing people with the sexual teasing. It's a tease on a tease. Tease for a tease.
So where did Slenderman come from?
Where did Slenderman come from, Maddie? I'm fucking crazy curious about this big tall boy.
It was created on a forum whose entire purpose was to create scary stories for fun. So, sounds like a good time. Victor Surge, the online alias of Something Awful. Victor Surge.
Victor Surge.
The online alias of the Something Awful forum user Eric Knudsen, who created the monster, made its origins explicitly clear.
Eric Knudsen?
Yep.
Damn.
The Slenderman. As
Victor
an idea,
Surge and
was
Eric
made
Knudsen
up off the top of my head, although the concept is based on a number of things that scare me. The name I thought up on the fly when I wrote that first bit.
Knudsen and Surge sound like the parent company of that makes, like, Surge, or Squirt, the soda.
Okay. They created a few
Spike
images.
Spike TV brought to you by Knudsen and Surge.
They created a few images of a tall, slender, pale man in the forest, and the myth is born.
It's that easy?
It was in 2009.
Anyone can do it.
Can you believe how much Slenderman can be a thing in 10 years? 2009.
We're recording this in 2019, just so everybody knows.
Well, I mean, it's 12 years.
I'm sure there isn't such thing as a plague in this world.
A decade or so. There are now tales on the wiki of Slenderman where they have created fictional folkloric characters to try to legitimize the original story. A few weeks after it was created, Troy Ragner, Joseph DeLange, and Tim Sutton released a series of short videos depicting the Slenderman in the style of the Blair Witch Project. Have you seen those before?
No.
I'm pretty sure I watched them in high school.
Okay.
In the films, a supernatural monster, a tall, skinny, faceless humanoid with an ability to distort film footage, starts disrupting a student's attempts to field his class project titled Marble Hornets.
Titled what?
Marble Hornets.
Okay. I heard something.
Later in 2011, two of the games, Slender, The Eight Pages, and Slender, The Arrival, are written and developed in part by the same young men behind the Marble Hornets thing. So,
why was it called Marble Hornets?
I don't know. It was the kid's student project. That's what the...
About Slender Man.
No, no, no. It wasn't about Slender Man. Slender Man came in... It was like a fake documentary style. And they were doing... They were trying to film their film project, and the film project was called Marvel Hornets, and then Slender Man messed it all up. So then that's how that went. Also, 2011 is when I graduated high school. Can you believe that?
Yes.
I'm so old. Look at this. Did you hear my spine crack in the mic?
I did. Like a big Baba Yaga energy.
That was my spine.
Like an old crone.
I'm a crone. Anyway.
Bone crone.
So this is where the trigger comes in.
Yeah.
It's
slime,
on
slime warning.
It's been on Creepypasta. You know, it's ubiquitous at this point after the games. Okay. So, May 31st, 2014. A bicyclist called police after he discovered a 12-year-old girl lying on the sidewalk outside David Parks in Waukesha. Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Nailed it.
I don't know if I did. As noted in this issue's introduction, as in from what I'm quoting, the girl had been stabbed 19 times and left for dead. Two other girls of the same age, Morgan Geyser and Anissa Weir, confessed to the attempted murder. They had done it, they said, to gain the favor of the Slender Man. The victim survived and was released from hospital on June 6th. The two other girls were charged with attempted first-degree intentional homicide.
Yeah, I forget that she wasn't actually killed, thankfully.
It is good that she did not actually die.
It is. I know it's a hot take, but...
Yay.
Yay.
Huzzah.
It's, yeah, give us a bazinga for that real quick.
I do think it's messed up that they were tried as adults, because they're...
I thought you were about to go on a rant about Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory? I do not like that show.
I know, that's what I expected that rant. But then you said messed up, that they were tried as adults, which makes sense, yeah.
Okay.
Justice system. You think it was bad that they were tried as adults, or good?
I don't think they should have been, because they were children.
No.
And it's not going to make them change into better people if they're just continuing the cycle of violence, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to wonder aloud about that one. There are a lot of variables in play here.
Yes. Regardless, after this publicized event, other acts of violence were connected to the mythos of Slender Man in the news, like this one.
Well, like the clowns in the corn.
I don't know what you're talking about, but this one, June 9th, 2014, Ohio teenager stabs mother to appease Slender Man. Hardly a week after the vicious attack on Peyton Lautner, an Ohio teenager stabs her own mother to allegedly appease Slender Man. And here's a quote from the mom. I came home.
See, no one ever asked those questions.
What do you mean?
Just like, I mean.
To appease Slender Man?
Yeah, did it work?
I don't know.
And like with the other two, Anissa and Weir, like, you know, they were doing it to gain Slender Man's favor.
No, Anissa Weir is one person.
Oh, well.
The other one is Morgan Geyser.
Perhaps they split.
So, a quote from the mom. I came home one night from work, and she was in the kitchen waiting for me, and she was wearing a mask, a white mask, reported the wounded mother. She later reveals to the media how her daughter had become obsessed with Slender Man role-playing, claiming, we found things she had written, and she had made reference to Slender Man. She also made references to killing. She had even created a world for Slender Man in Minecraft. Wow. Child. Minecraft. It's crazy.
I feel like Slender Man's less to blame and more like, it's just, some kids are gonna have issues that manifest in weird ways, and sometimes when there's spooky fandoms, you know, it kind of validates it, like it gives them an outlet.
Yeah, I mean,
where that violence is normalized, and it's not Slender Man's fault necessarily.
Yeah, it created one of those parental media panics about, you know, what kids are reading and how they could become violent after reading horrible things, which they are really gross and horrible on Creepypasta. I'm not gonna say they're not, because they are.
What's gross about the proxies?
I just mean, like, really violent. Complex discussion has arisen about the developmental ability of children to fully differentiate fact from fiction, especially when many fictional stories are either rooted in the real world or grounded in their own lore as much as possible to create an alternative belief. So in young adults, this is really possible. Like, children want to believe that their Hogwarts letter is coming, like age 11.
What?
The Hogwarts letter?
Oh.
When they're coming, age 11. You know, they're like...
Hogwa sweater. And I was like, I missed Hogwarts. That package as well. I got super excited when I thought my Hogwa sweater was coming, but it never arrived. I was so cold that...
They're drawn to stories of drama and extremes. This is me speaking as an educator, having studied developmental psychology. Slenderman is generally known to be a fake fiction, you know. And many people involved in creating the stories, honestly, were like alive and conscious beings during its conception on the internet. So,
well, yeah, you hadn't mentioned at least that any of these people died tragic deaths between 2009 and today, like the creators. And I also just didn't expect Knudsen and Serge to have been like late in life elderly folks.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Serge and Knudsen do have big geriatric energy though.
I mean, maybe the danger of it will become like more obscured over time, like where the origins are kind of lost in the weird, like buried in the posts of the internet over time. And it's harder to be like, oh, like.
To delineate where it all began and where it like went awry.
Yeah, I mean, now there's actually publicized sources of where it all began and stuff like the Rolling Stone, but.
Rolling Stone.
Or Rolling Stone magazine. Is that wrong? I don't know why it is.
It gets me specifically.
I don't get it. So, there are two quotes, actually, from the Creepypasta Wiki talking about this phenomenon.
Is there, like, a central Creepypasta hub that one can go to? My understanding is that
I think so.
Really? There's, like, a website?
There's, like, a wiki.
Oh, well. So, that's just
There's, like, but a specific Creepypasta Wiki. It's got its own.
Wikis for everything. It's Wikipedia.
I know, but it's like.
There's the Fast and the Furious Wiki that I monitor with my good friend. I'm an admin on it.
So, here's the quote one. Unlike vampires, werewolves, etc., those deal with giving power to the afflicted in exchange for humanity. So this is on the forum that they're talking. A lot of Slenderman and stuff is the opposite. It's more like a sickness that wears the character down, isolates them. In some of the series, the characters with the most severe mental issues seem to summon or attract Slenderman, making things worse for them, but also causing chaos for those around them. I guess that there would be a kind of power to inflict around some of the pain they're feeling onto those around them. So while I agree that if it wasn't Slenderman, it would have been something else.
It would have been the music of Korn, based on what they're saying right now.
I can also see why Slenderman might appeal to those suffering from issues that make them feel powerless or hopeless.
Once again, the music of Korn. You can really switch out Slenderman with Korn and have the exact same story. Korn was also created by Knudsen and Serge, but in 1999 rather than 2009.
Indeed. I'm illustrating the discussion that's going on around this.
Is this the 10-year Korn cycle that we hear about?
So, interestingly, this is another...
Because I'd argue that the 2019 Korn cycle manifested in the release of Cats.
This is from Slosh Train from 2014.
Not even a giggle, that was a good one.
Another administrator on the Creepypasta Wiki suggests that it's actual belief authority. In Slenderman that could lead to this issue, so they say. Of course, only a small minority of people, mostly newcomers on the wiki and the internet, truly believe what they read here. And for most people, they will not attempt to replicate atrocities presented in some of the literature on the wiki. Something like this was bound to happen, considering the size of the creepypasta community. All it takes is one person to do something radical in the name of someone or something.
Something totally tubular. Cats really was like the new metal of a film.
Cats was?
Yeah.
The musical Cats?
Well, the film
musical. Oh, the film musical.
It was like if film could be new metal.
Mm-hmm. So the girl in Wisconsin had one of them, which I took out the name, I think, specifically to you can look it up.
Haven't we already said both their names?
I did, but I didn't say which one was going to be more
the baddie.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if she's
the
baddie.
Opposite end of that coin, that the goodie doesn't get vindicated, because then yeah, one of them is worse than the other.
I don't know if worse,
like, ringleader.
Worse is the wrong thing, and baddie is the wrong thing to say. I'm saying
okay,
they have an early onset case of intense mental illness.
That's fair.
So
worse and baddie are just going to
Yeah, I mean, that's ostracizing of mental illness. So that's her true. Her belief was considered to be real in this Lemon Man, at least through the court in some way. So
the court validated it as a genuine belief in the existence and power of Slenderman?
No, they validated that her early onset mental illness could have distorted her view of reality.
Yeah.
In this
instance. The court didn't rule of Slenderman is real.
Yeah, they weren't like, yeah, it wasn't like in, you know, Miracle on 34th Street where they're like, Santa's real because he gets stuff in the mail, you know?
Is that the rationale in that movie?
It is in one of them.
Is it like a P.O. box? And that just cracks the case?
It's like they bring in all the federal documents sending to, like, all the mail that gets sent to Santa. They bring it into the courtroom. And this is in the one from the 30s. You have
a deep and detailed knowledge of Christmas movies. I feel like every week you bring up something where you're like, well, of course, this and White Christmas was really the backbone of the subtext. No, it's
Miracle on 34th
Street. I know. I'm just predicting what's coming in the near future here.
I didn't watch White Christmas, which is crazy. I did watch Holiday Inn, which is where the song White Christmas comes from.
What the fuck is Holiday Inn?
It's a movie also from the black and white era. What
I'm talking about. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
You have a treasure trove of Christmas movie knowledge.
Anyway, it's not like that.
It is like that. Oh.
For this, what we're talking about. Yeah, gotcha.
But your knowledge is that way.
Sure. I don't know.
I do.
I don't think I'm that good at film analysis anyway.
I would argue that's true. But when it comes to Christmas movies specifically, if they're featuring Vince Vaughn especially.
It's only in one Christmas movie.
Yeah, but you've... Anyway.
Okay. So, Tolbert, which is the guy, or Tolbert, he's the guy that wrote the scholarly article.
Yes.
He has an interesting analysis on the creation of modern folklore and the depths of belief that many people have of it over time. So, folklorists call living out or mimicking the actions of folkloric legends ostension.
It's creating a tulpa of it.
It has been argued that the myths leave a map for action, which could be violent, and even that the ultimate act of ostension would be what happened in Wisconsin, an act of murder carried out in the name of the myth.
You essentially manifest it into this real world through belief and repeated action and ritual.
Since the original origins of Slenderman have become intentionally obscured to make it more scary and interesting to the reader, it's important for guardians to impart that awareness in younger children. So, Tolbert quotes Kinsella, who argues that people may accept that legends are true after this obscuring and then later attempt to relive the legend directly. By creating this liminal state, it blends reality and fiction. People's experiences being a proxy to Slenderman then become part of the greater mythos of Slenderman. So, that's interesting.
That is.
I also think there's something to be said about the desensitization to violence after reading so much stuff.
This is also where Maddie segues into her rant about violent video games.
No. I'm saying, there is, like, over time a desensitization. Like, if you're into true crime, which I am, there is kind of, like, this primal fascination and anxiety, like, a need to understand the dark and horrible things. And, like, for me, it's so I can avoid it, and also I just, like, can't look away.
It's also your comfy, happy spot that you like, kind of wrap yourself in, like, a warm, comfortable blanket every night.
I don't. I've been avoiding it since...
Since Plague began,
because it gives me more anxiety, but it's, like, a thing where I don't want to pretend it doesn't exist. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
And my favorite true crime, you know, are the ones where the victims are like...
a dog.
No.
No.
They're, like, remembered, and, like, the impact of the killer is what's really explored.
Eclipsed by the triumph of the victim? No.
No. What I'm saying is the true crime that is most valuable is the one that shows how horrible it is for a person to be a killer, not how, like, shocking it is, or how, like, oh, a killer's so clever because he can get away, or, like, there's, like...
Or it's interesting because they did all the X, Y, and Z nasty, nasty, icky stuff.
Yeah, it's, like, I think, like, I'll Be Gone in the Dark is, like, the
procedural kind of looks into the investigations of catching killers, or...
I like that. I also just like that so much attention is paid on the impact left on the families of, like, what happened to them. Yeah. And that, like, the victim is, and survivors
it's more of a voice.
Are, like, involved in the telling of the story, and that they're remembered properly, and it's not just, like, dehumanized by, like, what happened to them. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
They're not check marks on the laundry list of the killer's, like, spree.
Yeah. Like, I want to feel sad for them.
Yeah. Well, I hope you'd feel sad for them, regardless of how the information's treated.
Anyway, that's... I think there is a desensitization, but there's, like, a lot of, I don't know. Slenderman basically came to be on a forum where violent acts like elementary school fires and missing children, fake or otherwise, are connected fictitiously over and over to Slenderman, and his, like, he has, like, this 50-page long thread. And it's probably not super healthy.
Have you been on these forums in the last week? Are you diving in? Are you
I looked at them.
Pouring over the... Yeah?
Yeah, so that's where I got the 50-page long-ish. But, yeah.
Nice. So there's still...
There's still... Yeah, there's a lot of activeness in Slenderman. And I would say the most thing... The most active Slenderman thing is Wattpad. Wattpad is popping off.
The fuck... What word are you using?
A watt, as in, like, a watt of electricity. And then pad. Wattpad.
Well, yeah, those two words, that's like saying...
It's like an app. Or a website. And it's like a collection where you can publish your own works. And there's, like, hundreds and hundreds of Slenderman stories that kids are writing and publishing. Okay. And you can, like, talk about it.
So is it, like, a live journal kind of thing? It's just, like...
It's like a blog, but it's, like, okay. They have collections of books, essentially.
Wattpad?
Wattpad.
I really don't like that.
I'm sorry. That's crazy. So... The main discussion that came up around from the whole media panic is that parents have to be watching, like, what their kids do and all of that stuff. And, but, I mean, dude, it's, like, it's so hard to be a parent and to monitor this crap. Like, most of what parents do that I've seen is just, like, lock down their kids' phones for, like, filters and whatever. And...
Or break them like a burner phone, like Breaking Bad. Just snap it in two and throw it in the trash. That works. That keeps Slender Man out of the house.
I mean, I don't know how parents really do it. Like, how do you really monitoring what your kids read on the internet? Because, like, just my mom reading even the books that I read, like, the amount of books that I read as a child, my mom doesn't read.
This is going to be one of Maddie's humble reading brags.
My mom doesn't read at all, so no, she was
but
like...
But how much do you read, Maddie?
I read a lot. Yeah, and so she couldn't really keep up with it. And it's like, I don't know. It's hard when...
That was a perfect analogy for kids reading horrible stuff on the internet.
How
much fantasy you read as a child.
I read
it's
other things.
Just like
that. I read other things. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you read a lot.
Well, good luck to you parents out there. Shit's tough. I don't know. I think most kids will be fine, you know.
Counterpoint, I think the youth is lost, and it's probably going to rise up and kill us all in elementary school fires and various other stabbing scenarios.
Oh, so you're saying your kid's going to become a murderer because
of Slenderman?
I'm not
having a kid.
No?
I'm afraid of kids.
Oh, okay. I think violence is just kind of unexplainable.
I think violence is a very human thing.
Yeah.
And it's just going to happen regardless.
It's going to happen.
Whether or not there's a fucking Slenderman forum, the kids are going to kill other kids sometimes.
It's
sadly
terrible. Yeah, people are capable of horrible things. I don't know.
Always have been. It's not new.
It's a weird one.
I mean, go back to our Italian folklore.
Yeah.
Stories. See the horrors of humanity throughout time.
Italian folklore is really good, especially. I just thought of the one with Catherine the Wise in the pit, but
I just thought of Voldo. The one Italian folkloric hero that we left out.
Yeah. Okay. So, we've got some
stories
here.
I wish Voldo made an appearance in Slenderman.
Oh, that would be interesting.
I could see the two. Oh, the two of them going head to head, like Freddy versus Jason?
Yeah.
Voldo versus Slendy?
Voldo versus Slendy would be pretty good.
Because Voldo is also a proxy in his own way, as we've learned, of that Italian merchant who...
Yeah, he's just he's Italian. Little... That's what makes him not the whole analysis.
No, but I'm saying, yeah.
Oh,
Voldo.
Is that Patrick's video that we're talking about?
Yes.
From,
yeah,
what's that?
Polygon.
Polygon. Yeah, okay. So, I have a few Slender Man tales here. And I was wondering if you wanted to read them, or if you wanted me to read them. And here, I wanted to give you a choice. So the first one is...
That's what you just gave me, yeah.
Got home from school. Okay.
That's the name of it.
Well, no. It's called The Garage. That one's called The Garage. The next one is long, and it's about kids going camping, and it's called What Lurks in the Backwoods.
Okay, spoiler, it's Slender Man. Do we need to read a long one?
And then
it's going to be Slender Man.
The third one is The Slender Man Cometh.
All right, yeah. So the first two, or the first and third sound not long.
Well, the third one is kind of long, but it's also the original one that I found from the wiki. So, well, maybe that's
question,
the one we should do.
In Slender Man Cometh, is that spelled with a U?
No.
Damn it.
We could still do the bonus episode.
Yeah, Slenderman's kind of coming in that one. yeah, I'll read if you want me to.
What do you want?
I
want
to do... just let me...
The Slenderman cometh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where's this come boy? All right.
The shortest one is at the top.
It's extremely long, Maddie.
Should we just do the short one then?
I'm going to start with the short one.
Okay. A lot of scrolling, I know.
Oh, God. All right, The Garage. Yeah, that's a, like, that's fair. Okay. All right, this is brought to us by Redditor Incredible Falk 1. I had just gotten home from school. It was almost 5 p.m. I was alone, just like almost every time I got home from school. I usually let my dogs out of their crates, let them go to the backyard to do their business, and then let them back in. There's a small wasp's nest in the front porch of my house, which I decided to spray with Raid. I immediately ran back into the safety of my living room. I absolutely cannot stand having to walk out of my house in fear of getting stung every morning. After school, I usually go to my garage, where my drink fridge is. It's full of Pepsi, Gatorade. This is a white person, because they have a drink fridge. A designated fridge for their drinks.
In the garage.
That's such a common thing, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. After school, I usually go to my garage where my drink fridge is. It's full of Pepsi, Gatorade, water bottles, Red Bull, and delicious Arizona fruit juice cocktails.
Ew.
No human calls them fruit juice cocktails.
Are they teas?
They're called zones. Yeah, they're teas.
Oh, good to know.
They're not... parentheses, pretty much every unhealthy drink you can think of, lol, end parentheses. I walked out into the gasoline-like smell of the room. It is still pretty hot here in Texas, so the heat didn't help cover up the stink. I had reached into the fridge and gotten hold of an Arizona watermelon cocktail. Please stop, closed the fridge door, and made my way to the door. And that's when I heard it, a growling noise. It was right behind me. I almost pissed myself on account of the Arizona iced tea. No, sorry. I've ruined it because I added that, but he would have said iced cocktail. I almost pissed myself when I turned around. Tall. That's a sentence. There's a period. Tall. Long arms. Period. Featureless. Period. Its arms literally touched the floor, even though the finger was standing upright. Figure was standing upright. That makes sense. Figure was standing upright. I'm pretty sure most of you know what Slender Man looks like, so I don't think I need to go on. Cool, author. You are writing a story. Probably be helpful if you did go on, but you did hit it. You said they were... you did just describe them as tall. The only the two didn't share was the suit. The only the two didn't share was the suit. It was like I was looking at a naked mannequin with abnormally long arms. Its hands were black with an inky shine to them. I was frozen with fear, not unlike the frozen delicious Arizona cocktail I was drinking. I let out a shrike, like the one you would hear from a big sister from Bioshock 2, ha ha, and ran near the fridge. Not Bioshock 1, no, not like that. I guess there weren't big sisters in Bioshock 1. And ran near the fridge. Near is underlined. And near the fridge. Not into it. And that was the last I saw of it. I burst out of the garage and ran into my room. I stayed there until somebody got home. I went back into the garage a few days later and went to the fridge. Sure enough, there were two handprints. Black ones.
Ooh.
Why did we need to know about Raid? Why was that something that was necessary to include?
Why indeed?
Cool. That was good.
That's pretty funny. Here, there's an article down there about how to become a Slenderman proxy. Can I see?
That sounds good.
Let me see. So,
It's like a WikiHow on how to become a proxy, because I would very much like to know and follow this.
Yes, how to become a Slenderman proxy. So,
educate me.
I have to open it on a thing, which is crazy.
On Wattpad?
Yes, on Wattpad.
I feel like a Wattpad is what you would use to test for canker sores.
How to become a Slenderman proxy. This is from Meruru Semansa. But I don't know if they actually wrote this. I think they just did it. So, what's up, guys? If you want to become a Slender proxy yourself, then you better take a look at these. Enjoy.
Isn't it just a photo of their genitalia next?
Warning. If you still retain some of your sanity, do not blank. That was in all caps.
Which part? What?
Define proxy. A servant and or helper to the mythical creature, the Slenderman.
It's not mythical.
Proxies are said to be the Slenderman's only human connection to the outside world.
This person doesn't know what mythical means.
A proxy's duty varies depending on what the task their master assigns them. Master is capitalized.
Good.
A few examples are maintaining order in the Slender Woods, translating their master's thoughts and speech to others, even going as far as taking care of those who are in master's way. Whatever the Slender Man wants, it is the proxy's job to make sure it happens, cleanly or not. It is assumed by many that the Slender Man sees its proxies as simply nothing more than personal property or mere toys. Popular belief states that the Slender Man chooses its own proxies.
Yeah, they're fuck puppets.
But there are some who have managed to enlist, let's say.
Where's the Slender Woods? Own.
I don't know. From the video game, perhaps. Okay, before I begin, I would like to give you some advice.
You didn't begin already?
If you want to become a proxy, make sure you're ready for anything.
Okay.
Once you become a Slender proxy, there's no turning back.
Alright.
Once you have been converted into a proxy, you serve the Slender Man for life. No questions asked.
That's been clear. That's been clear since the beginning.
Only death will part you from your master.
What of the Slender Man's Fairy Queen?
Remember, you are easily replaceable. Okay. So I suggest that you do not get on the Slender Man's nerves. There are rumors that if a proxy should ever be disloyal or disobey their master, a fate worse than death awaits them.
What is it?
Not sure. Worse than death, though.
Nah, that's pretty bad.
Would you like to hear the ritual?
I would like to take part in it.
Well, there are several steps.
Should I disrobe?
8 steps. I do not think so. Please keep your clothes on, because we are on a visual medium. Thanks. Okay. The ritual.
I should take them off.
No. No. Note, all steps must be completed correctly, otherwise you will most likely die.
Okay.
At midnight, this is step one. At midnight, when the moon is new, go out into the forest or the woods. As long as there is time close to midnight, such as 11:59 p.m., you'll be all right.
Should I call you and put myself on speaker? I can go outside.
No. We're not near the woods.
I mean, yeah, I didn't say how far outside. I was gonna go to the woods.
Step two. Walk deep into the forest or woods.
Okay.
If I were you, I would take a well-known path so you do not get lost or become the blank period.
Sorry?
It's just a blank space and then a period. So, do not try to make an unknown path. If the Slender Man is there, he will attempt to make you lose your way. Step three. Bring a flashlight. Do not bring a camera or other recording device of any kind. Ritual is private. No one else may know. Cell phones are acceptable as long as the only thing you're using is the built-in flashlight.
Slender Man will be coming around to check your electronic devices.
So be sure to only have it on that flashlight.
Exactly.
Airplane mode is a must if using the flashlight.
Step 4 of 8.
Okay.
As you walk, keep your eyes on the ground in front of you. Should you look up and see him, you will become his. He will most likely be watching you.
Isn't that what you want?
You will know he is watching you when your flashlight starts to flicker. Note, in case of a cell phone, static will play on the screen and light will flicker. You will also experience the phenomenon known as slender sickness, which consists of headache, dizziness, ringing in the ears, nausea, blurry vision, numbness of hands and feet, and bleeding of the nose. Note.
It sounds like all of the symptoms of just being out in the woods for too long.
You could get any of those things. Should you experience these effects, do not run away. I repeat, do not back down. The second you run, you become its.
I like that I didn't get any pushback. Like, yeah. Guess your nose just does start bleeding.
Some kids randomly, or people in general, if like weather and temperature changes and stuff can cause nosebleeds.
Mm.
So, and allergies, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that might come up in the forest at night.
Yes.
Temperature changes and allergies.
Yeah.
Step 5.
Truly, yeah.
Once your flashlight or cell phone begins to flicker and you feel sick, come to a complete stop and close your eyes very, very tightly. Do not open your eyes for any reason. When I talk like that, it's in all capitals.
Well, then, really, own it. Come on.
No matter what you feel, what you hear, or what you think, do not open your eyes.
Whoa.
That was all
that's
capitals.
That's caps? That's still robot. All capitals.
I did robot capitals.
You did robot capital.
Oops. If you should open your eyes, you'll become the thing blank.
The.
It's just, I don't know
is
why there's so many
the
blanks.
Lore?
I don't know. I don't know what the blank is.
It's become a Mad Libs initiation.
Yes. Part 6. This part is regarded as the most important part of the ritual.
Cool, I just skipped to this part.
During this part, you will begin to hear the Slenderman's voice in your mind. Once again, do not, under any circumstances, open your eyes. The Slenderman will ask you questions. When he does, answer it honestly. Truth is the key. You may feel the Slenderman touch you. Ooh. The Slenderman may...
Tell me more about that.
Place its hands on your shoulders. Wrap its tendrils around your arms and or legs. Wrap them around your neck or all of the above. The Slender Man is, quote-unquote, examining you.
Here we go. All right.
During this part of the ritual, making sure you are fit for the duty of becoming a proxy.
Yeah, this is what I kind of
the Slender Man is quite picky when it comes to its proxies. It will not try to kill you unless you open your eyes. Step 7. If the Slender Man finds you fit for the job, he will mark you.
Mm.
Note, the marking is moderately painful. It is similar to the feeling of a dull razor blade cutting into your skin. Ew. The mark will be cut into your skin, but quickly begin to heal. There will be blood. After the cut heals, it will rise like a scar, but turn black. The scar is in the shape of the operator symbol, which is a circle with something through it.
It's another blank.
It's just skipped. The mark is like a tattoo. It cannot come off. If you have been marked...
It sounds like a cut.
It means you have been chosen. Alternative, to those who are not classified as fit, it is unknown what happens to them. Once again, be absolutely sure you're willing to devote the rest of your life to Slenderman, and you follow these directions exactly. You'll probably get taken.
Is that a dig at people that aren't considered slender? Is that what the fuck they mean?
No, I think fit to be a proxy is what they're saying.
Oh, yeah. See. The use of the slender got my mind.
Fit.
Yeah, okay.
This is the final step. Step 8.
Okay.
After you have been marked, you will pass out. The sickness will have gotten too strong for your body to handle, and therefore will result in you temporarily shutting down, passing out. When you wake up, you will be in your bedroom as if nothing happened, but the mark will still be there, and so will the memories. After that, pack whatever you think you may need. Some suggestions are an extra set of clothes, water, food, a weapon, knife, gun, etc.
Knife, gun?
Note, if you use this weapon on your new master, I do not believe I even need to say it again, and a flashlight, as well as extra batteries. Electronics besides a flashlight are not recommended since you will not be allowed to have any contact whatsoever to your past life. If you do decide to take one or more electronic device with you, do not use it to record unless specifically ordered to by your master.
Once again, you just got full cap robot.
I don't know. Finally, it is usually the next night at around the same time when you will be summoned by your master. As soon as you cross the threshold of your door, your previous life no longer exists. You have succeeded in becoming a proxy of the Slender Man. Good luck. You may need it.
I'm upset that everything we're reading from today was written by like a 12-year-old.
that really angsty. Like, it's me 18 years ago.
Oh my goodness. So there's the person who posted this to Wattpad is 12 years old. Secondly,
I know. I know because you just read it to me. Of course they're 12 years old.
My parents won't allow me. They're so overprotective sometimes. I'm 12 years old, for Pete's sake. Secondly, my self-conscious can't take the fears. I'm scared of the dark. So cute.
It's not cute. It's a lot of things.
Aww. They're so small.
How does that make you feel as a teacher? That a lot of your students are at home writing.
My students are 14 now, which is crazy. Yeah, so 13 and 14.
So their grammar's gotten a little bit more nuanced and verbose.
Some of them.
So they're writing this shit, but it's just a little bit more intense. How does it feel that some of your students might be proxies of Slenderman?
I would be shocked.
When you look into their faces.
Their little slender eyes. Creepy. Anyway, I thought that was a good one. I don't know if... I think this was probably copy-pasted for something else, because there's no real plagiarism check in Wattpad, as far as I can tell.
What is Wattpad?
This is the app. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah, it's an app and a website. I already explained this to you.
I know, but I just can't... I've reached that age already where just any kind of new trend or app or device, I have an immediate roadblock on accepting it before I can just, like, understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to push back and go, that's new! And it makes me upset for no real reason. But the fact that it's new, I'm...
All right. Well, that's all I have for Slenderman right now as far as the original episode. We might do another episode with some erotic bits.
And you have the interpretive dance you were going to do at the end of this.
I did not. I have no interpretive dance.
You have your Slender dance. Where you take me as one of your proxies. Will you give me the mark?
These are the tendrils.
Yeah, wrap. Find out if I'm fit. That's not how tendrils work. You're clawing me with your tendrils.
Tendril claws.
Okay, that's the sign that we're about done.
If you would like to send something to us, Miss Good Slenderman Stories, Slenderman Erotica, cough, cough. I love all of those things. They're so funny.
You just want to send us a box of slime. Smells. Blood, or just, like, hair.
Please email us at addstoryteller.com. I hope you enjoyed our first video podcast. It's just us talking.
I'm sorry, Maddie.
That's what it is.
Maddie didn't let me disrobe or anything. I was ready to.
You were primed. Yeah.
Well, no, they have to sign up for Prime. Or that Prime account. It's like a half podcast, half OnlyFans.
We'll be taking a hiatus for the holiday...
The holiday time.
We'll see you in the new year.
Maddie's taking off a couple weeks to go see Spider-Man. She's real into that little, like, insect boy.
I'll be doing research probably, but we won't be producing content in that time. So we'll see you in the new year. Thank you so much for being here this year.
Maddie's making me call her Dom Holland.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Let's see.